It's Seven Land Hand, brought to you by Good Game St. James.
Is it now?
It is.
Yep.
Every week it is. Every fortnight
every
it
week.
Is.
Oh, okay.
Google Dominion and Google will ask, did you mean Domino's Pizza? But right under that, and the grease stains on your monitor screen, will be Dominion, the board game. Derived from the word dominatrix, which means angry, man-hating chick dressed in latex. A dominion is a place full of shiny black clothing, whips, and bald, naked fat guys who love to be hated by women. In
it's
a bigger card-grabbing frenzy than Snow White, it's Christmas time. Seven Land Hand is here to explore the CCG that isn't a CCG.
What is it? It's not an LCG either.
No,
it's its own CG.
It's just a CG.
It's a card game.
Yeah. All right, Dominion is the power or right of control. It is also a name given to lands or an area of considerable size that are under sovereign authority. What is sovereign authority, you ask? Well, let's ask George W. Bush, who said, sovereignty means just that. It's sovereign. You've been given sovereignty, and you're viewed as a sovereign entity. Thanks, W. In this game, you start as a nobody surrounded by nobodies. The moral thing to do is to rise up, shit all over the little guys, and rule them with an iron fist before they notice your effeminate ways and predilection for days of the week underwear. Dominion was created by Donald Vicario, or I like to think, or Vicario, I don't know.
You've got to include his middle initial, which is the best part of his name.
What is it, A?
X.
X.
Donald X.
Vaccarino. Oh, that's better, isn't it? Donald X. Vaccarino.
Yes.
A video game programmer of the 80s and 90s. He was greatly inspired by the release of Magic in 93 and developed Edge of the World, a 90-card alternate format of the game.
Oh,
in 2006,
I didn't know that at all.
He developed Spirit Warriors 2. See how... God, these are balls-out titles,
yeah.
Aren't they? Spirit Warriors 2.
There wasn't
and after
even
several
Warriors
revisions
1.
Of the game mechanics, it became enormously popular within his local gaming group. That was his mates down
enormously
the shop.
Enormously popular
yeah, all,
with his
all
friends.
Three. Yeah, exactly.
And
Donald demonstrated the game at the 2007 Origins Game Fair and attracted the attention of Rio Grande Games. He sold his soul.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Well
yeah.
done. Good on
Originally called Castle Builder. And then Game X, after his middle name, they eventually settled on Dominion. Vaccarino has always stated that he had plans for development of the game, and this has certainly come to fruition with the game currently having 8 expansions. The game has also been translated into 18 languages, but what does it all mean to gamers? To rape, pillage, and plunder this with me today, I have our resident feudalistic monarch, Aaron Graham.
Bonjour.
That's mine.
This is mine.
I don't want that. Yeah.
I've got France. I've got this. I've got
and,
that.
And Tenant in Chief, Tom Hutchinson.
Hello there.
Hello. Gentlemen, welcome to the Dominion of Seven Land Hand.
Yes.
Feels like it suits, doesn't it? Because we have land in the title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Seven Kingdom. Oh, no, that's a different thing. The Seven
no,
Lands
it.
Of Seven Land Hand are our Dominion, and they look quite beauteous
yes.
today.
And you gain victory points just for listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
You're gaining them now.
I'll give you a victory point for saying such a witty thing there, Dave.
Oh, it's nice.
Thanks. Because, well, you know, my experience of this game goes way back.
Way back when?
About, what, 20 minutes ago
yeah,
and I had my first game.
Yeah.
But don't worry about that, listeners. We have two people here that have played it like a bad habit, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're like...
Experts, I'd say.
More...
Oh, don't say that. But yeah.
Oh, no. Tom's in the expert chair. He has
yeah,
to
he
say
is.
That. He is... All right.
It's one of those canvas chairs that says, like, expert on the back of it.
It is. We
very
have that.
Specifically.
What do I
We've just
say,
got
Aaron?
Normal chairs. Mine says Aaron, no. What's
oh,
yours say?
Yeah, we wrote cockhead on the back of yours.
What a yeah. kick me.
Yeah, I know. You didn't see it. We turned it against the wall and it says, sit down quickly.
Dominion. Yeah, this was one of the first board games that we really got into. Me and Tom go very far back. He's one of my oldest friends.
Beautiful.
It's lovely.
I'm crying now, you can't see it.
Just shed a single tear.
Do you want to blob for a cuddle?
yeah, maybe. Good. All right, that was nice. We studied games at university, game design, board games specifically. Bought Catan, bought... what else to start off with? Dominion was one of the very
Dominion
first
and Catan,
ones.
I think, were the two main ones.
Catan's a very, like, my first Euro board game thing.
Forget about Catan. We're not here to learn about
oh,
Catan.
Yeah, oh,
we
yeah.
want to learn all about Dominion. In
I was
going
to say how much I don't care about Catan. Anyway, Dominion is one of the first ones that we bought. And it was... me and Tom had played Magic a bit before, but this was something that everyone that we were friends with could play, but also me and Tom would
just... Was this like the first card game you played? They didn't have like Jack, Queen and King in it and that sort of stuff? Is that pretty much...
Apart from... Well, we played Magic. A little bit. So this was one of the... Yeah, exactly. One of the only card games we'd ever played that wasn't Magic. And it was just something completely different, very self-contained. Anyone could kind of jump in. We played it with our friends that didn't play board games, played it with our friends that did play board games. We've played it with the app on the phone as well, played it online with people as well.
It's just so quick to learn. I mean, you can be up and running in 10 minutes.
So easy to pick up. Like we taught Dr. Dave here in... like 2 minutes, literally while we were playing.
Yeah, 25 minutes. Let's not be. It takes most people 2 minutes to learn. You know, like after 25 solid minutes, I was just about past the sleeves.
And you came third, which was really good.
Yeah, in a three player game, I'm happy with that. I got the bronze medal position. So, Tom, what's the objective of the game?
Well, Dominion, it's kind of unique in that you build a deck as you play. So, I mean, compared to things like Magic and that kind of collectible card game style, you start off with a small deck of cards. Everyone has the same deck. And you build the deck as you play by buying cards from the center. And the winner of the game is basically just who has the most victory points at the end, which are one of the types of cards that you can buy.
Yeah. In other games, victory points are just kind of held in your hand or you know... Say in a game like, I don't know, Catan, your victory points are represented by stuff that you've built. But Dominion is very interesting in that when you buy victory point cards and put them in your deck, they
get in the way.
They get in the way. You draw them in your hands and you're like, wish I hadn't bought so many victory points. But that's how you're going to win. So you've got to have this nice balance of the other types of cards, which are treasures and actions, along with your victory points cards in the end. So
I thought that was very thematic of it, though, because it's almost like if you had several lands or areas of land, it's not just like reaping the rewards of having that land. You've got to look after it as well. Yeah. It's like having a house. You've got to paint the wood so it doesn't dry out. And it's like, it's a hassle. You know. So when you draw those victory points or those estates into your hand, it's like... It's kind of like, oh, I've like got to look after those. Yeah. That's my chore. Yeah. And then what can I do with the fun stuff?
It's your day-to-day life when you look at your province and you're like, God, I've got to mow that fucking lawn. Yeah.
All the light bulbs have blown in my province. It's like, oh, man, I've got to go change all those light bulbs instead of spending all of this gold.
Yeah.
That's how I sort of saw it. So what's the general narrative of the game then?
Well, it's kind of... There's just so many expansions now that it is kind of all over the place. And each of the cards are very, I wouldn't say generic, but I would say they're very kind of neutral. Like, you know, they
but
have
it's a,
visual.
It's a medieval kind of setting, isn't it? It's exactly, like a, you know, like a so the, fields and castles and that sort of, what's it, duchy, was it?
Duchies, provinces, estates and colonies. That, it's that, not, it's not like that ye old...
Suburbs, cities, none of that sort of stuff.
No, you know, no,
it's
cars,
definitely sort of medieval
it's all
vibe.
Carts and stuff.
Yeah.
In the first game, they had very flavorful cards, where it's just like there's a cellar, there's a mine in your dominion, there's a smithy, there's a
very simple.
There's a little militia, there's a tiny village, but each one of the cards doesn't. It's not like in Magic where it's like. The a crow and horse, you know, it's like a thing and there's soldiers that come out of it and you're like, oh, I understand what that is. Yeah. A village in this game has the text plus one card plus two actions. There's nothing intrinsically villagey about it. But so the narrative of the game comes from the kind of overall feel of it being spending gold to buy stuff to add to your dominion. But shuffling a deck is like, you know, you're not building... like horizontally your thing is just kind of
but what I liked about like later on we'll get into the expansions was that each expansion has its own it says directly on nearly all of them from about second or third expansion on the theme of this release is and then it
exactly,
just gets into it so they are trying to push a theme and that's related in the gameplay isn't it
so when you buy the base set it's got very simple cards in it very simple mechanics
so what's it got in the box
so it has 500 cards that's all that it is there are different types of cards because everything that you play in the game is
what a box it's cool how they set up the box
it's got its own storage system in it unlike other games which we own which is just crap everywhere you put it in Ziploc bags really just disgusting
just
looking
plastic
things.
Like a Coles bag supermarket bag
stuff it in there and shove the lid on but Dominion's got this really nice
it's like molded plastic kind of
it's like sectioned off for each one and it's got a little thing that goes in the middle that tells you where each card goes
and does that still work when you close the lid Like, yeah, they don't just go everywhere.
No, they've held pretty much in place, unless you turn it upside down, I suppose.
Or sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold them that firmly. We've had to sleeve ours, because the game involves a lot of shuffling.
Yeah.
And they get really grubby.
Very quickly.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just you that's looking after them. So it's not like your magic deck where you could probably play sometimes with a deck without sleeves, mm-hmm. even though that's probably unadvisable just due to the price of some of the cards.
Yeah.
Because you're playing in a group of what? Well, how many players can play?
So this plays 2 to 4 in the original box.
So you could have like 1 to 2 grubby mates in that 2 to 4. It's going to ruin your cards.
Well, we share the cards. A lot of the Dominion boxes we split. We split the cost of them, mm-hmm. and that meant that like each time we buy an expansion, we just kind of pass them around, I suppose.
Yeah,
like, whoever
exactly.
wants them just holds on to them.
Mm-hmm. So just to finish off, what else? What else do you get in the box?
So you get 500 cards in the base set, but past the base set in each of the expansions, the mechanics get a little bit more complicated. Sometimes there's tokens. They're really nice quality, actually.
Like metal little tokens.
Yeah, like little metal beads and stuff with victory points, shields.
Little metal beards. Like little metal beards.
And
you get to wear them.
Yeah, you put them on your face.
Wow.
They make you look more regal while you look over your dominion. No, there's little tokens and stuff to keep track of your victory points, and also little mats to store cards on.
You can count your victory cards up as you go, keep an eye on what everyone else is doing.
In some of the other expansions, Prosperity, I think they introduced it, you can get victory points outside of your deck. So just ones that you just have
An action card might say, you've just got 3 victory cards.
So there's a card that's called Monument, which costs 4 money to buy and put in your deck. Every time you play it from then on, you get 2 money to spend that turn and 1 victory point.
Yeah.
Just 1 victory point every time you play it. So if you buy that really early on, it's actually very powerful, because it gives you as much as you would for buying a province, and it doesn't take up a slot in your deck.
Yeah. So before we go off components, I suppose in those, you say there's 500 cards, but they are different. And took me through it quite easily with A, B, and C, and I suppose that tells you what sort of cards you get as well.
So there's actions, treasures, and victory points, and there's also... the action cards are all called kingdom cards. So every game starts off with coppers, silvers, gold, and estate, duchies, and provinces. Duchies, and provinces are victory points, and the other 3 are the money. And then the other 10 cards that you play with are different every time you play. So you can randomize them with the randomizer cards I've got in there. I've got an app on my phone that does it. And you can combine different sets.
These are stacks of 10 different cards.
Yeah, stacks of 10.
They're all the same. They're all the same in the piles, but there's 10 different piles.
Yeah, so 10 piles of 10. So you play with those 10 piles of 10 that are different piles each time. And... yeah, so that's what's different when you play game to game, and there's an insane amount of replay value in it, because you are literally never playing with the same set of cards twice.
Replayable board games that we own, I think. I mean, there's just so many different combinations, especially when you start getting...
It's a board game now. It's not a CCG. It's not an LCG.
Yeah, it's called a
board
game.
It feels like a board game.
there's no board, though. We've established there's 500 cards.
Unless you get some
sticky tape out and start joining them all up together, there's no board.
Oh, you could do that.
There's no board.
That would make a real Dominion. I'm sure we could make a variant of Dominion which you actually build... No, that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Card houses. Yeah, card castles.
Tom. How much of the decision making is at the beginning of the game versus a turn to turn thing? You know, so getting into how to play.
It's kind of, you do have a lot of the strategy at the beginning of the game, because all of the cards that are going to be available throughout the game
the
are kind of open.
Cards.
Cards that you buy as you play, they're all open at the beginning, so you can kind of map out what you're going to be doing in the game. So there is a lot of strategy at the beginning, but because you are shuffling a deck and drawing random cards, just like in any other CCG, there's a lot of chance about what it is, what combination of the cards that you own you're going to draw turn to turn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, while you can pick a strategy that you're going to be doing throughout the game, there is a lot of random chance and a little bit of player interaction, so you can't plan everything. So
some of the decisions, you can have a look at what cards are there. You can say, if I get a couple of high money treasure hands, I'm going to go this way. Otherwise, I need to build up on these other cards that seem to be there
and head in
that way.
Sometimes we play games and there's 4 of us playing, and all 10 of the kingdom cards, we pick them at random, put them all out, and everyone just sits there for 5 minutes and looks at them because you're like... if this goes with this, eventually I could buy some gold and buy one of these things and then play this one three times. And yeah. Tom notoriously plays more combo-esque Dominion strategies, whereas I go for more like wide variants. Like I try lots of different things, and then we've got friends that just buy money instead of buying.
Which works. I mean, it works.
It's a good strategy
by itself.
So is that the so is that what big money is? Is it just going large on the money?
Yeah, I mean, big money is kind of a baseline strategy where you don't buy any action cards at all. You just buy money, basically. And then when you've got enough, you buy the big victory points.
Is that
cards.
Like a beginner's strategy? Because that was my knee-jerk reaction to it. As soon as I saw it, I thought, right, I maybe don't understand any of these cards because I'm just playing my first game. Mm-hmm. I can definitely just buy a crap load of money. And then at some stage, there might be a point where I'll have an advantage because I'll be drawing lots more money and I can just buy everything.
Yeah.
Is that a valid strategy?
Oh, definitely.
Or is it just like a, more of one of those beginner strategies? You know, like in Magic, you just go play green monsters and try to beat everyone up with those.
Yeah, exactly. You've talked about... you've heard Brian Wong talk about Mono Fair. Unlimited Resources, they talk about a strategy in drafting where you just play creatures. Just draft creatures over anything else. Don't play tricks. Don't play enchantments. Just draft creatures. Hmm. And some people can't stand up to you going 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop, 5-drop. They're just like, oh, man, he had so many creatures. And you're like, that's because I have 21 creatures in my deck. And they've got like 12 or whatever. In this one, it's kind of like that. You have to beat someone that is playing big money and maybe something that draws extra cards or you lose. We played with a friend's sister the other day. She was about to go to sleep and we're like, oh, you want to just jump in on this game? She'd never played it before. Bought some cards that we vaguely recommended and bought money and beat all of us. And we've all been playing for years. So it's just kind of one of those baseline things where you have to be able to beat that. Like you have to be able to beat just a deck that's all creatures.
So you told me she did better than third place in a 3-play game.
She came a little better. Yeah, I came last.
I got like a decent margin as well. I mean, you can buy just money, but really the kind of the best big money type strategy is big money plus one other card or
supported by some other thing. So in the game that we played, I played Royal Seal, which is when you play it as a treasure, it's worth 2 money towards your purchases for that turn. And whatever you buy that turn, you can put on top of your deck. Yeah. And all I was doing was playing Royal Seal, buying gold, putting it on top of my deck to buy more gold to put in my discard pile or whatever. And that's a good kind of under...
like you're saying, exponential seems like a word for this game, doesn't it? It's like everything's got a momentum to it once it gets going.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start the game without the ability to buy the more expensive cards. You have to kind of, you know, as you buy more powerful cards, you're given the opportunity to buy even more powerful cards. Mm-hmm. And so, as you said, exponential is easily...
There's no point floundering with your coppers and just buying 3-cost cards every round and just hoping over and over and over again. You need to get that big cash happening there sometime.
You can't justify playing anything other... Like, you can't justify having coppers the only money in your deck because you will never be able to buy anything more than that unless you're playing very specific stuff. Hmm. I can think of some strategies in which you don't need any money in your deck, but they're... they're few and far between, and you need good combinations of cards.
Aaron, expansions. There's 8 of them, I believe.
Yeah, there are. So the base set comes with those 500 cards. Very simple mechanics. It's just an introduction to the game, but I really recommend it for anyone that's just starting out because it's quite an interesting thing. It's not really like any other card game. And then after Dominion came out, they released Intrigue, which focused a little bit more on player interaction. There's cards like Masquerade, where you pass cards to your left. So you're always kind of like back and forth between players. You've got stuff that messes with opponents, that sort of thing. There's less of that in the base set. So Intrigue is more about...
So the base set, you can just go about your way, just race the person to the finish line, and then all of a sudden they start... introducing stuff where
I liken the base set to bowling in that you're playing it together but you have literally no interaction with the other people. You're just like you're watching each other play and you're like, oh, no, that's very nice. Who won at the end? So intrigue is a bit more like you can punch people while you're bowling, and yeah. you're like, can you bowl
put
while
chewing
with the
gum
black
in
eye?
The holes of the yeah. bowl and stuff like that? Yeah,
just break their fingers.
Yeah,
So that's intrigue. A bit more player interaction in that one.
Yeah.
The next ones that came out, I think Alchemy came out next, but after reading some of Donald X's writing about it, Alchemy wasn't supposed to come out till much later.
Okay.
It's very complicated. It introduced a new currency called potions. And cards that you can only buy with money and potions.
Ah.
And it's just very complicated. And a lot of people didn't like it when it came out because it warped the game around these weird cards that were very powerful but really difficult to buy.
Was it something that came around? Because we all kind of like that, aren't we? You know, it's like we get used to something and then a new mechanic comes out and we're like, oh, this is dreadful. And the only way you're saying dreadful is because it's different and you're having to learn something. And you feel like, oh, I can't be bothered. Did it pan out?
Yeah, definitely a little bit of that. It's just very unlike all the other sets that have come out. And all of the other ones play very well together, but once you throw alchemy cards in, you can only buy two cards with potions. And there's no reason to buy potions other than buying that one or two cards. So it doesn't mesh very well. And he designed it as a one that you can just play like on the side when you're bored of the regular ones.
Okay, see, all of these expansions you do need the core set for?
Intrigue, actually, I think they intended it as like a advanced one. It comes with all the base cards that you need.
Okay.
So you can get all of the cards that you need, either in the base set or in Intrigue.
Yeah.
There are also small and large expansions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember. Which ones are the small ones? There's
so
not too many.
The small ones are Cornucopia.
Alchemy's a small one, isn't it?
Alchemy's small, yeah.
I think, yeah.
The small ones are Alchemy, Cornucopia, Hinterlands, and Guilds.
Right.
Which are all
small boxes.
Small boxes. Yeah.
It's easy to spot.
Yeah. Yeah, the smaller boxes. I think they come with 200 to 300 cards, but that only means 20 to 30 sets of 10.
Yeah.
So they only add a little bit more to the game. Whereas Seaside, Prosperity, and Dark Ages are all like 400 to 500 card expansions, and they just complete, like, very, very different mechanics. They come in a big box. Yeah. And
do you go through periods of liking one better than the other, or is the one that you just go, I want to play? I want to play this
Prosperity
one.
Is universally loved because it adds big, like, you go big in that one. There's another currency and a new victory card called Platinum and Colony. Platinum costs 9 to buy, which is even more than buying a province in the original game.
So how much was that?
It gives you 5 every time you play it.
Right.
So it's just like, it just gets at, that one is exponentially huge.
Yeah.
And a colony is worth 10 points, but it costs you 11 to buy it for your deck. And there's a lot of stuff that contributes to that very big money strategy.
All right, so all up, you guys are crazy for it, aren't you? You've been playing it for years, can't put it down.
Yeah,
you play it. And it seems speedy, too. It seems like, let's just play Dominion, let's get a quick game in and boom, just do it.
More recently, we've turned a few more of our friends onto it that hadn't played it before. And the reason they hadn't played it before was because we played it so much 2 and a bit years ago that we had to just put it away. We're done with Dominion.
Yeah.
I was playing it on my phone when I was on the bus and the train. Played it when we got home from uni. And so now it's coming out, it's kind of all a bit fresh again. But yeah, it's seriously, the replayability of it is huge.
Yeah, seems like that way.
Mm-hmm. Particularly with like three or four players, it goes so quickly. I mean, you can play, with people who have played it before, you can play a full game in 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
easy. Definitely. And that means you can just play three or four in a big gaming session, different games each time. It's really good.
What's the maximum amount of people that can play?
We've played
time
with 7, but to play with any more than 4 players, you need either the base set and Intrigue, so you get all the money and victory cards you need.
Yeah.
But they just released a base cards thing, so that you can just buy the base cards thing for like $40. Comes with new artwork and all of the cards, all the cards you need to play the game, just base cards, and you can just buy one expansion to go with that. And also for playing 5 to 8 players games. They go a bit longer, obviously, but it's nice when you've got a big group of you. You can all be involved in the same thing. The games play quite differently with different amounts of players.
Yeah. Now, I read somewhere that DX Facrino, he said that that the expansions had come out on a regular basis for a while, but now not to expect them on a regular basis, but he's not saying that it's not going to happen, or there was some sort of thing on who owns it and what, all that sort of stuff. But it seems like there'll be more stuff coming, but just not on a regular basis.
Yeah, like in Magic, they talk about how the design space is huge because what's his name? Richard Garfield made this mana system, and he made the color wheel, and you can just do so much with that in a card game. Dominion's exactly the same. You can, there's so much like intrigues built around player interactions, seasides built around delayed things happening. So when you buy them, you get them that action that turn and the next turn, but then you won't get it again until later. Prosperity is built around money. Alchemy is built around the alternate currency. Cornucopia is built around having different types of cards in your deck.
Having like lots of different types all at the same time. There's like cards that are like get a point for each, you know, different type of card. That kind of thing.
Yeah, like Hinterlands is built around when you buy a card, it has an effect immediately, and so you've got to prioritize those differently. And Dark Ages, which is the newest one, a big set, is built around trashing and getting rid of cards permanently from your deck for different benefits, that sort of thing. And so, like, there's each one of these expansions has 300 to 500 cards built around one theme, and I could think, well, I don't know personally, but there are heaps of other places that it could go. Lots of really interesting work to be done, but I think he's working on other games.
As soon as he needs a new boat, he'll be...
Yeah!
Dominion expansion.
It's a lucrative business for him. Oh,
I believe that was Dominion. It's Aaron's top 10.
Yeah, this is going to be...
Bigger than the last one.
Yeah, extremely.
Yeah.
It's going to be 10 this is the entries.
Dominion top 10.
Oh, the last one was 10 entries as well. But yeah, each one of the 10. Individual things will be bigger.
None of the last ones are about Dominion.
Oh, that's definitely true.
This is the Dominion themed top 10.
Related one.
This is the toppest tennist, Dominionist things.
I didn't bring my penny whistle today.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, that's don't worry.
All right, my top 10 today.
We'll get listener comments about that, I'm sure. All right, number 10.
My top 10 today is Dominion Dash. Why would you play that?
Dominion Dash, why would you play that?
Yeah.
Are you saying like a card within Dominion, or are people just going, Dominion? Why would you play the whole game?
It's 10 different people that have said, why would you ever play Dominion?
Okay, and this is the comments that they've made.
10, Jenny. 9, Bruce. 8, Francesca. 7,
Donald. These are just people that...
These are just people that... No. This is my top 10 Dominion cards.
I'd like to hear what... Oh, I was going to say their comments. Why would you play that?
Okay. Why would you play that? Go play some sport, you nerd.
Why would you play
number
that?
Number 9.
Common criticism.
These are cards within Dominion.
These are cards in Dominion that people that are new to the game don't understand why they're great, but I'm going to tell you why they're great.
Okay, so Dominion, why would you play that card? Let's call it that.
Yeah.
All right, number 10. Dominion, why would you play that card?
Lookout.
Lookout? Yeah. Why would you play that card? That's how we should do it. You should say the card name, then I'll say, why would you play that?
Number 10, Lookout.
Why would you play Lookout?
Okay.
That was good.
Everyone online hates this card.
Yeah. Because it's bad.
It's not. It's because it's great. And then,
is that your reasoning?
Yeah, it's great.
It's not.
This is stupid in the face. It's a pretty succinct top 10 today. Lookout.
Yeah, no reasoning? Just play it. It's good. All right.
It's a plus one action. Look at the top three cards of your deck. Trash one, discard one, put one back on top. But it gets very dangerous in the game because you have to trash one, discard one, and put one back on top. So I've trashed many bad cards, but I think that it does just enough tweaking to your deck. You don't have to draw any of the bad cards ever again, and it gives you plus one action so you can do other stuff afterwards. So yeah, that's why I like Lookout.
I believe you. Okay, number 9.
Number 9 is Poorhouse.
Poorhouse? Why would you play that card?
Well, Poorhouse gives you 5 money, but then you have to reveal your hand and you get less money for every money in your hand. So it doesn't actually make any sense. But all you have to do is build a deck that doesn't have money in it.
Sounds like Whorehouse.
Oh, what's that?
Poorhouse.
I misspoke. It's Whorehouse.
Whorehouse.
Yeah. Yeah. They take your money.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to build a deck with no money. I've done it once, and I've played it 5 times. So 4 times, it didn't work. And I had no money in my deck, and I lost horribly.
But it's good to have those cards in the game, I think. The cards that force you to make a deck
skill
around
testers.
It.
Yeah, that's what we'll call them. Right. 1 out of 5 times works every time.
Okay. Number 8.
Tactician.
Why would you play that card?
Well, I know it says that you have
This is getting old now already.
I know it says you have to discard your hand when you play it, but next turn, you get 5 extra cards, 1 extra action, and an extra buy.
So you get to pick up 10 cards next round.
Yeah, but you have to skip this turn to do it.
But that's just 2 goes spread over, like, you miss a go, so you can have that go next go.
Yeah, it's for very
specific... Or maybe get more money.
It's for very specific strategies where you think 10 cards is going to be better than any 5 cards that you get. And you use it to buy multiple provinces in a turn. Again, every time I buy it, it doesn't work out for me, but it's worth giving a go. Just
sounds stupid.
Maybe you'll crack the code.
All right.
It gives you an action, doesn't it? No.
An extra action and an extra buy. So it's like you have 2 turns at once. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds stupid.
You've made that one work.
Yeah, it worked once, I think. That's not high praise.
How many games would you say you've had
probably 4 as well. So that's similar.
4 or 5 games. Yeah, I've played Tactician. And
okay.
It never worked for me, and it's worked once for you. So that's 1 out of 9.
Okay.
Why would I play that?
This is not a good list. I'm not convincing so far. Number 7.
7 is Tom's favorite card in the game. I say, why would you play that, Tom? Because it's so damningly annoying.
Yeah.
It's called Minion.
Okay.
The best card in the game.
It's not.
Minion.
It's
explain yourself, Tom. Go on. Why would you play that card?
Because it's the best card. I mean, there's nothing else you need to say.
That's the same reason Lookout. Because it's the best card.
Because it's so great.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of allows you to combo off and do interesting things while also marginally, you know, interrupting everybody else.
Oh, so what it does is +1 action, plus choose one from these two, either +2 coin or discard your hand and draw 4 cards, and everyone else that has less cards than 5 cards in hand also has to discard down to 4.
Yeah.
Right. I'm just thinking of all the people like me that have only played once or never, and we're just going, these are all names of cards.
Minion. So look out for it.
Look out for these cards, because when you read them, you'll think, I'm not playing that card. But now that you've heard them in this top 10, think again.
You know better.
You might need to.
It messes with your opponent while also furthering your own crazy combination of cards. So, it's difficult to see why you would play it to begin with, but you find its value.
Okay. I think the worst thing about the card is that it takes a really long time to do it. And so it ends up being you playing cards while everyone watches for 5 minutes. So that's probably the worst.
You draw your deck every turn.
Okay, you've won me over. Number 6.
Number 6 is Bishop.
Bishop.
Which is one of my favorite cards in the game. You trash cards from your hand and get victory points equal to their cost. Halved. So you trash all the stuff you don't want, and then you turn it into victory points. Everyone else gets to trash a card, but that's not important.
That's what bishops do. They trash things and turn them into half the value that they were
before.
There's
a picture of him just like hitting a thing with a hammer, and then
a young child.
And then, and then the young child is full of money, and he gets money for
Pinata
it.
Pinata style.
Yeah, okay. Number 5. We'll walk away from that before. Mate. Number 5.
Number 5 is Upgrade, which we just taught David how to use.
Yeah,
that
one.
+1 card, +1 action. You have to trash a card from your hand.
Yeah, I didn't like that so much.
Yeah, it's difficult to know exactly what to trash and why you're trashing things every single time you play it, but I like upgrading my things into slightly better versions of
it's
themselves.
Good if you can, but if there's a card that you don't want to get rid of anything in your hand and you've got an upgrade, then you just sort of mulliganed, haven't you?
It's like you can't do anything.
Then someone else maybe toss one away. I've got 3 cards to do nothing with. I'll just miss my whole go. Great. Upgrade. Shit
upgrade,
card.
Sure.
4.
What I gamble on is that, you know, you +1 card, +1 action, then trash it. I hope the card I draw is a bad one.
Yes.
Never a bad one.
Yeah. Murphy's Law.
Number 4.
Number 4 is Ambassador.
Man, this seems like a long top 10. Ambassador.
I was really sure, actually.
Yeah, it's 10 longer than any other one we've done.
Each one is one word, actually, apart from poorhouse. I can make that one word.
I've written it as one word. Okay. Ambassador. Tell us about that.
Ambassador.
I wouldn't play that card. Should I?
It sounds bad, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds very
Why
bad.
Why would you play that?
Why would I play that card?
You return some cards from your hand to the supply in the middle, and then everyone else gets a copy of it. But what you do is give everyone shit cards that you don't want in your hand.
In your face, other players. Yeah. Here's some shit cards.
Again, one of the most annoying cards to play
against. And ambassadors are known for doing that, are they?
Yeah.
Being annoying.
Yeah, if you look at the picture of him, he's just being smug. And just annoying everyone.
Smug power.
Actually, interesting fact, when Dominion was a free-to-play online game, they gave you the top cards to open with.
Yeah.
One of them was Ambassador, because it was so damningly annoying against everyone else that you had to buy those 2 cards to start with, or you just die, get killed by an Ambassador.
Yeah. All right, number 3.
Number 3
is in the bronze medal position.
This one I've never got to work, but my ex-girlfriend...
So you think should come lower in the order, but anyway, yeah.
My ex-girlfriend, who we used to play this game with, used to somehow always manage to win with this strategy. It's called Duke, and it's a victory card that you get... It's worth one for every three... It's worth one for every duchy you have in your deck. Duchies are the middle of the road...
I was buying them up. I love them.
Yeah, they're good.
So I thought I could be a duke.
But there's like a mathematical formula to buying duchies and dukes, like past a certain point, and then you get an exponentially large amount of points, which no one else can catch up with. But I've never understood how to get it working.
So that one doesn't work either.
Extremely difficult.
So far, I know not to play with seven of eight cards now. Not to ever play with. Right, number two.
Number two is. Oh no, I've forgotten the actual word. I've written tactician again. It's outpost. It's outpost.
Outpost.
Outpost is. Okay, this is a pretty powerful effect. Take another turn after this one, but you only get three cards.
That sounds all right. Why would you not want to do that?
It costs you a card from your hand to do it, and then your next turn's like a lame turn where you only have three cards. I don't know,
I mean, the whole game is about trying to reach those really good cards at the end, you know, the provinces and the golds. And so having kind of a shitty turn and then another shitty turn is actually not really any good.
Right.
I mean, you're just not going to hit anything.
No one's deck is good enough that you can draw three cards and be like, yeah, this is a good turn that I'm having right now.
Okay, you convinced me on that one too. All right. The number one.
Okay, number one is my
card. Not to ever play because they're all shit.
Okay, this one you should always play because it's fantastic. It's my favorite card in the game. Do you know what it is, Tom?
I don't remember what
silver.
It is.
It's gold. Chapel. Okay, I'll read you the text of Chapel. It costs two money to put in your deck. Trash up to four cards from your hand.
That's it. Trash up to four cards.
Yeah.
And trash normally is just, you just dump them, don't you?
You just dump them. You're just completely gone from your deck. You never get them back
so
again.
So you're clearing house.
Yeah.
That's what you're
doing. Just, you play chapel, just trash the rest of your hand.
That's just what a chapel is. It looks like a fancy house on the outside. When you go inside, there's pretty much nothing there.
Yeah, it's just crap.
There's no fridge. There's no telly. There's no microwave. It's just benches.
It's like a chapel. Oh, my coppers and estates have been destroyed. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's the story of the game.
I had this beautiful house, but I trashed everything inside of it. So it's just a chapel now.
How's your dominion now?
It's just a chapel.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Wow.
Okay.
That was my top 10. It'll make way more sense once you listen to our recommendations and go buy all of the Dominion expansions.
So play Dominion and then come back and re-listen to them.
All right. Fantastic.
It's one of those hidden gems.
So this weekend it's been the Jew pre-release. Nothing to do with the Jewish people. We love our Jewish friends.
Some of my Jewish friends played in the pre-release.
J-O-U. J-O-U Jew.
J-O-U.
Jow. Journey.
Jow.
Should be Jow.
It's like the start of Joust.
Journey.
The J is pronounced like a U, like in Swedish. It's just you. It's a pre-release for you.
For you. This is your pre-release.
No, it's a you pre-release.
This is you pre-release. That sounds like perfume. It's a pre-release for you.
I've got a pre-release for you.
That's dirty. Okay, Aaron, did you get any action over the weekend?
I did get some action over the weekend.
What did you do?
There was pre-release.
You're definitely in the two-headed giant. I saw you doing a bit of that.
Yeah, I ran five of the six pre-releases. Four of the six pre-releases that we ran in the store and at the community center down the road.
Yeah.
Huge, rousing success. I got to play in a couple of them as well.
Yeah.
Didn't lose a game last night. That was fun.
Wow. So it's all about just winning,
crushing,
dominating,
crushing
making
people.
Other people have miserable time.
I didn't
time.
Even enjoy it, honestly.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy it, but you won.
And today I did very badly at Two-Headed Giant.
Oh, so it was the other person's fault. Who were you playing alongside of?
Oh, it was Kian.
No,
it was my fault. I think my deck... Okay. I kept getting mana screwed.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, he was...
Yeah, so you're a bit of an inexperienced player, I'd
that's
imagine.
That's me.
Yeah, an excuse like that.
Didn't mulligan. Didn't keep hands that were good.
Yeah.
It's just terrible. I'm a terrible player.
So the general feedback, we're just going to go through top three rares, mythic rares, top three uncommons, top three commons. Open up with the fun stuff. The top three rares and mythic rares. What do you reckon's heading the charts?
This
from
one
Journey into Nyx
schooled me many times. It's the legendary artifact equipment godsend.
Oh, yeah. That's
so ridiculous.
Is that we spoiled that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did it in our spoiler show. So it's one white for an equipment. You can equip it to a creature for three colorless. Equipped creature gets +3/+3. Whenever it blocks or becomes blocked by a creature, exile one of those creatures just immediately.
Right.
And so, like, someone played it against me when I'd mulligan to five, and so I could never block the creature that they played because I didn't have a lot of creatures to block with. And then someone else played it against me today, And it's just, it's so difficult. Like, I don't know how
to find a way around it.
Yeah, there's no way to get around it. And
what do you say? Is that, that's a rare?
It's a mythic.
It's a mythic, yeah.
And two
good.
People played it against me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was pretty rough.
Okay.
It's deadly.
Oh, we should, who was that?
Yeah, who's this?
Hang on a minute. Travis is here.
Hey, dudes.
That must mean we've got a card coming our way
oh,
later on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Oh, welcome aboard, Travis.
Hi again.
Travis, have you seen much of...
again, I mean.
Have you seen much of Journey into Next?
No.
No, this is the first time he's seeing a boost.
We're
going to
do a
boosters.
Special segment in just a moment.
Yeah, you have to get into that and tell us what you think.
Yeah, very exciting.
But on the top three rares, mythic rares, what's another one?
Second one was Erois, God of Victory.
Oh, yeah. I saw Kian. He had one of those on the midnight release.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't here for the midnight release.
Yeah, totally wiped the board with that. had another one of the players. Gary was just wandering around with a blank look on his face going, he just played a Erois and just like sort of destroyed me.
Yeah. So your creatures can't be blocked except by two or more creatures and you just plop it on a board where they're expecting to make some good blocks and you just school them.
And that's
disgusting.
Bad if you've got creatures that are blocking... That they're like a 3/1 or something 1 or
yeah, and
really
it prevents all
defense.
The damage to your attacking creatures as well. So you can just attack with impunity.
Oh, wow!
And they block with whatever, and your thing never dies. Things is ridiculous.
Like, gives it invincibility.
Yeah.
So you're just looking at artifact. Is that? Did you say this? Erois is a legendary.
He's a legendary creature god.
Creature god.
If your devotion is less than 7, he's not a creature. He's a 7/5 when he becomes a creature.
Yeah.
Ooh,
he's got both of those abilities. Yeah.
Oh man.
He's quite good that one.
So he's on the exile charts for coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and the third rare mythic rare you'd pick out as a notable mention over the weekend.
This is a tough one because I kind of got. Destroyed by a whole bunch of different stuff, but there was one of the promos that came in one of the packs, which was so difficult to deal with.
Is this the white one?
Yeah, the white one. Every single person that picked the white pack got a 4-mana 2/4 with flying and lifelink that gets a +1/+1 counter every time you target it with something in a set where there's not very much removal. And so they have this massive, like, build your own Baneslayer angel thing. I think it's called Dawnbringer Charioteers. And I saw some people that had 2 or 3 in their deck because it's just a rare. It's not even a mythic.
Yeah,
it's
on the post, the promo poster for the pre-release event, and we were reading them from the bottom. We're going, oh, there's that one. And that's pretty cool.
Green
you can do this or that.
Black one's good.
Yeah, that one's okay. And my God,
it comes down at 4.
And it's one of those cards you read it and you go, I'll read that again. What did I get wrong there? There's a catch here, isn't there? Cause it's like we had a Crowan Skyguard.
Yeah.
And we got Wingsteed Rider.
Yeah.
So there's Junior and Senior.
Yeah.
This card seems like Wingsteed Rider.
It's like the godfather of heroic creatures.
Coming down in a mech warrior with
it. Mike Tyson in a lava mech.
that guy, he's back, but he's got feathers all over him and he's flying a horse with a chariot and he's just running over everybody.
And you bestow a crab onto him and he draws you cards as well. What are you supposed to do?
And what's his card called?
Dawnbringer Charioteers.
What type of feathers is he wearing?
White
human.
Oh, that's a bit girly.
Girly's packing a punch these days.
I looked at the artwork up close because it was on one of the packs that came out, and they're all just like, "Whee!" Oh, it's just disgusting. Makes me feel sick.
And that's alternate artwork, isn't it? The one that you get in the pre-release.
Yeah. Their mouths are like wide open, and they're just like following their little horsies through the sky. It makes me feel ill.
Mm. All right, top three uncommons from the weekend.
There's so many ridiculously good multicolored cards in this block because there's not a heap of multicolored ones. One of the ones
are they favoring the color combinations of gods that have come out? We've had a missing color combination.
Oh, yeah, they are. That's the first time I've realized that. So there's a cycle of uncommon cards in this set. That are all very, very strong for their color combination. The number 3 one, which annoyed me to no end, was Deathbringer Cockatrice.
Oh, yeah, I saw that as well. Because it's got Death Touch and it's on a green-blue card. And it was really weird. It's going, here's a blue card here with Death Touch
with
on
death
it.
Touch
and
on
it's
it,
just
yeah.
like, is that right? Is,
yeah, because most black cards have
it's Death black,
Touch.
Yeah, it's a black and green ability, right?
Yeah.
It's like, when is a blue card? Bad with Death Touch?
What's
white.
Yeah, oh, white, first strike and death touch. That's a good combo.
Yeah, watch out. I can see a card being designed right now.
So this is there was a card in Alara Reborn called Winged Coatl, which was with the same as this, except it was a 1/1 with flash, flying, and death touch. So you could just flash it in and just destroy something.
Yeah.
People were calling it the green blue Doomblade because it just came in and just blocked whatever they weren't expecting. This is the same, except it's on a 3/3 flash, flying, death touch, and it's got monstrosity. So you can flash it in at 5, block one of their 2 power guys, kill it. On your turn, untap and monstrosity and hit them for 6 flying.
Yeah, it's like a monstrosity 1, isn't it? Something like
no, it's monstrosity 3.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It gets huge.
So
yeah.
I haven't been doing my homework over the weekend, so I haven't seen a lot of the new cards. But I'm glad you brought that one up because that was one of the ones that I saw and I was
ended
definitely
many
like,
games.
That's bizarre. Yeah. Like, it seemed really, really weird. But like, it's probably that color combination that we're not used to.
Yep.
Number 2 on the top 3 uncommons.
Number 2 is Magma Spray.
Magma Spray.
Yeah, which is
we had some fun with that one.
Yeah. This one's a reprint from a little while ago, I think, Conflux. It's just in a set where we've been... So in Theros and Born of the Gods, there wasn't a heap of removal. It was Lightning Strike and Magma Jet and Red and just kind of nothing else. And you could play your 1/1s and 2/2s with flying and be like, yeah, this guy's going to survive. So I've... 3 times today, I played a Kroan Skyguard on turn 2.
Yeah.
They had 1 red mana out, and they magma sprayed it. It's 2 damage to target creature. If it would be destroyed, instead exile it. Uh-huh. I was like, I wanted to put a bestow thing on this my Skyguard. Magma spray.
Okay, it's only magma spray as well. It sounds like one of those that should be able to be overloaded, like a Mizzia Mordor type of scenario.
It's a magma spray.
It's magma splash or a spray. Well, what would you like to go for? I'll kill everybody. I'll overload it.
We're talking about the magma spray and the magma jet.
Yeah.
And like, apparently the magma jet costs a little bit more mana, but when you're burning the shit out of something, you can see the future in the things because you scry. But a spray is like, I didn't see it. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, it's a mist in
it's
front of you.
Mist of
fog.
Magma.
It's a magma fog.
Magma mist
it's
is going to be...
It's a mist of Dettol air freshener.
Oh,
Dettol air freshener.
Is that your card for today? Mist of Dettol air freshener.
What's your final uncommon?
Final uncommon is Time of Need. Looks...
That sounds like a blue card.
It is. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It does. It is a blue card.
You can tell like magma spray has to be red, Time of Need.
Time of Need looks and feels like a rare, but and has won so many games. It's 2 and a blue with Strive for 1 and a blue.
Oh, yeah.
Exile any number of target creatures, put a 4/4 with flying into play for each creature that you exile.
A what? A 4/4?
A 4/4 Sphinx with flying. And so you've got a 2. So you've got a bunch of 2/2s out. You're like, yeah, oh, whatever. Okay,
I'm going to burn the shit out of my own board state.
Yeah,
here, right.
Yeah, and so turn them into attack them with a bunch of 2/2s. They're like, yeah, no blocks. Attack you with all my 3/3s. And you go Time of Need, exile my 2/2, my 2/2, and my 2/2. Turn them into 4/4s at instant speed.
Yeah, and because they're already
all
attacking.
Their guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on. Is this when you're attacking or
so
attacking?
I attacked, say they didn't block or whatever, because they've got death touch or what have you. They attack with a bunch of 3/3s.
Mm-hmm.
I can exile all my tapped guys at instant speed.
Yeah.
And turn them into 4/4s with flying.
Yeah.
That they weren't expecting. Block all their guys, and when it comes back to my turn, hit them for 12 in the air.
What the hell?
And that card's uncommon, so you could have multiple of them in your deck.
Man, I'm looking
card
forward
just
to
seems
that.
Very, very, very strong. It's really good.
An uncommon.
It's an uncommon, yeah.
I know.
Wow, it should be like a mythic.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like,
and that's coming from Travis. He knows how to write a card as well.
There was a card that was a mythic rare in M14 called Devout Invocation that tapped some of your creatures to
name,
put 4/4s into play. That cost 7, and it wasn't that much better than this card, and it was a sorcery, so you could just get killed by
and 4/4 flyers are pretty deadly.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Just to have them at instant speed as well,
yeah,
like Aaron was saying.
It's amazing.
Top 3 commons?
Notable mentions from the weekend. I didn't get to speak about the drawback bestow uncommons because they're all very strong.
Yeah.
But we can talk about that at a later date.
Probably like next Fortnite, we'll be talking all about. We'll be all over this set review. We could maybe if it's like a set ish review. I don't know how it worked out, how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If we do it by color or something.
Yeah.
We don't want to double up on anything that the limited resources guys are doing. But
we
do our own unique sort of take on it.
Yep.
So.
top three commons? What have you enjoyed playing with? You said you've been beaten by a lot of stuff. What was fun to what was fun to play?
One of the things to that helped me a lot. So I really like the blue white heroic tempo deck. Yeah. Just in case you've never heard
me talk about that. Has blue and white got stronger with this release?
That time of need thing goes perfectly in it, because you don't draw your heroic stuff, you can turn them all into 4/4s, and there's a whole bunch of new bounce spells. This one's this one is called Hubris. It costs one and a blue, return target creature and all auras attached to it to their owner's hands.
Yeah.
So what they do is they load up one of their creatures, a bunch of big bestow stuff, cost 5 to bestow, 6 to bestow, or whatever, and you're like, Hubris returns the creature and all the bestow back to their hands, and they just lost this big tower
of
stuff they've got.
I couldn't believe that. When I read that, and I was like, for one and a blue?
Yeah.
Is it one and a blue?
One and a blue.
Yeah. It just seems
so... same as Voyager's End.
Yeah, but it takes everything. So instead of that massive tower just falling across the table, it's like it's the whole thing's gone.
Yeah.
And all that mana that they've spent to bestow things upon their creature, and it's just got bigger and bigger and bigger. You've just removed it for two mana.
Yeah, for 2 mana, yeah. And that you can do other stuff on your turn as well.
I know.
After everything we've been used to in draft for so long, it's just, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're
kind of undoing the whole bestow
tower
of creatures, aren't there now?
There's so much enchantment destruction in this set. One of the... there is a downside to Hubris in that if they play it on an ordeal or something, on a cheap creature... usually when you bounced it with Voyager's End or something, the ordeal would go to the graveyard, but they get the ordeal back.
Really
it's only best against bestow, but still it's awesome. Like, it's a huge tempo play. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But all the counters would fall. So it's not like it bounces back and then they stick it on something that's already got 3 counters on it. The whole tower's gone. So
yeah, the whole thing is just back in the hand.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wow, Hubris, that comes in strong. So the tower falling down.
Exactly.
Anything else?
The common... too many commons to count.
Yeah, anything. This comes to mind. Just notable mentions. We'll go deeper on them next time.
Notable mentions. Oh, Seder Hoplite's really good. The 1/1 heroic for 1 mana. As good as you thought it was going to be. Sigiled Starfish.
I ranted and
raved about that one last week, and it's so good.
The four-legged starfish with the massive undercarriage is something I would describe it.
It just comes down, blocks whatever they've got out, and scries your way into better cards. And they don't really want to spend a kill spell, but it gives you so much advantage. This card's very strong.
Starfishness, so much.
Starfish.
Very intelligent.
He's very wise.
Very wise. So limited play. You've said blue white's still looking strong. I mean, you've got your Dawnbringer, Charioteers, your Time of Need, Hubris. Sounds like it has got tougher. Any other colors come out of the combinations come out of the woodwork?
Blue red with all of those blue spells I mentioned, along with a few more new burn spells, is looking very strong.
It's been a bit sucky for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Blue and red. And black white was always a bit on again, off again.
Yeah.
How's that looking?
In this one, it's very enchantment based, and you can see a lot of the stuff that they've put in place for Theros and Born of the Gods, where now it's based around constellation and just playing heaps of bestow and enchantments. So black white's looking
constipation did really well.
Yeah, constipation.
Yeah. I heard people were really backed up for ages about like we're really looking forward to playing that. And I told them it's the push on, and grin and bear it. Yeah,
right in the middle of the store.
Yeah, right in the middle of the store. And minotaurs. Minotaurs seem to have got stronger as well. There's some good minotaur cards.
Yeah,
it's took 5 cost to get 2 minotaurs. Two, three minotaurs
with haste.
Yeah, I
found a minotaur token this afternoon.
Just in the shop?
Yeah, just in the shop.
So minotaurs are everywhere. They're getting... talking about coming out of the woodwork, minotaurs.
there's one that gives... has death touch itself and gives all your minotaurs death
minotaur
touch as well.
Minotaur attack.
It's actually going to help the minotaurs deck in limited push through. Like, usually you play like a Nessie and Asp and you're like, okay, minotaurs, you're shut down now. You can't get past this. But... giving all of them death touch is super annoying. I'm not looking forward to getting beaten by that deck.
Yeah, it seems like it's if you can get it to work, it was a strong deck. And this is just sort of... I don't know. It's too early to say. But it sounds
the
like... they've given you enough cards to keep that sort of hope going. Mm. It hasn't like they've just shut the Minotaur show down.
No. They've definitely supported it throughout the block. I think what everyone wanted was a legendary Minotaur, but I think Mogus from the last set was probably the... he's like a Minotaur god, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Any of these cards come out, you think they're going to land in Constructed play instead of Maker?
already a big hype about the black-white god Athreos, which goes in the humans deck. It goes in the black-white mid-range deck. It could even be splash for a mono-black. So, like, you finally kill their gray merchant, and you either have to pay 3 life or they get it back in their hand. Also, Mana Confluence is a big boon for two-color aggressive decks, which the temples led to a very slow standard metagame. So, yeah, everyone's playing these comes-into-play tapped lands. But now Mana Confluence means you can pay some life to just get any colors you want past turn one or two. Yeah, so Mana Confluence is going to let those decks kind of come out where they weren't before. And what was the other one? The new Oblivion Ring, Banishing Light, is an enchantment that exiles something until it leaves the battlefield.
Yeah.
And that can exile Detention Sphere, and Detention Sphere can exile that. So it's going to be a big mess of just enchantments that exile stuff on the battlefield. I'm not looking forward to that, actually.
Yeah, most of my cards just have exile.
They do. Well, and speaking of which, we'll be back right after this musical interlude for one of Travis's new cards.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Travis, in the house.
Oh. Hello again.
Hello, Travis. It's so good to see you.
A new card design. I imagine we'll be looking forward to seeing this. Probably about M15, is
this
it coming
M15,
out?
Yeah.
M15, future site here for what's coming out. I've seen Travis's cards feature pretty heavily in the U collection.
Oh, yeah, in the U.
Yeah, in the U.
I think he designed Athreos, Mana Confluence, and Banishing Light.
Yeah, and some of the ones that he previewed here on the show, a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, what a treat we get to see all these cards.
Yep.
Now, I understand he's got a new card that he's willing to share with us today. Only on Seven Land Hand do you get this kind of treatment. You get to see the cards that are coming out.
He's besmirching his non-disclosure agreement to...
he's got special power.
Oh, he's got, yeah.
You know, he knows things about Mark Rosewater that Mark Rosewater doesn't want you and I to know.
Well, so. I haven't even heard of that word.
What's that? Mark Rosewater?
Besmirching?
Yeah. See how he's just...
Watch,
that's how you move...
Micro Waters.
Yeah.
Micro Waters. That's his nickname for him.
That's how you climb the corporate ladder, is like by slagging off
people's
names.
What's your name again? Micro Waters?
I haven't heard of that, but I know the proper name for it. Microscopic Waters.
That's bringing
the
dictionary
edition of his name.
Okay, so we've got a new card today. Lay it on us.
Well, I've got
piece by piece, I'm closing my eyes and just imagining. There's paper.
Unofficial Wizards of the Coast stationery.
Yeah, you can see the watermarks.
Go.
Here we go.
Now its name's Pupilizer.
Pupilizer.
Pupilizer. Okay. Pupilizer. So something to do with the eyes.
Pupilizer.
Destroy target eye creature.
Sounds like an 80s detective TV show where they just goes around stabbing people in the eyes.
I've also got a picture in my mind of this.
All right. Okay. Describe it to the listeners.
Yeah. Well, it's two.
Describe the picture.
Oh, okay. It's like a man just standing there, and there's a monster that. It's kind of an oval. It's about the size of a sheet of paper.
The monster is the size of an oval sheet of paper.
A monster the size of an oval sheet of paper is what we're talking about.
Is that its body? Yeah.
And it's got arms coming out of the oval, or it's just an oval? That is scary.
It's just an oval with a vicious knid from Charlie and Chocolate Factory. And on one side, it's got these... two spear things, and it like jumps on you and it shoots them into your eyes, and then
Detach like a bee's?
No, it shoots into your eyes.
I think these
and
are
then
the new
it
slippers.
Comes onto your face, and then it sucks out your pupils.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the pupilizer.
He's the pupilizer. He pupilizes your pupils.
Yeah.
Gone.
Okay, here we go.
So, what was
pupilizer? Yeah.
So, pupilizer. Two colorless and two blue.
Right, yeah.
That doesn't sound... Oh, it's a monster. Yeah,
yeah blue gets had a lot beasts. Of blue cards come out Monsters, of the Travis camp.
Yeah, I'm liking this. Okay, here we go.
So, yeah, what's...
It's a sorcery.
Sorcery speed.
I thought it was going to be a creature with all of that.
No, it must be what he's doing.
Oh, okay.
He's pupilizing.
Pupilized.
So there's a verb. He's pupilized.
Yeah.
What's wrong, Aaron? Have you been pupilized?
Yes, I can't see. I think it was a pupilizer.
Looks like your eyeballs have been sucked out.
Well, no, it's not. You still have your eyeballs. It's only the pupil that's sucked out.
Oh my God, that's a fate worse than being blind.
Yeah.
That will make you blind.
The pupil has already actually been sucked out because the pupil is actually only a space.
So it's the iris. Aperture.
It's the hole in your eye. Mm-hmm.
So you'd have the white around your eye, then you have the colour.
The iris.
And then the where the pupil's going to be, it'll just be full? White.
It's like just spewing blood.
It's going to be white.
It's white.
Oh, terrorising.
Like they put white out in your pupil?
Sorry, we're getting away.
It's a sorcery.
So it's a sorcery, and it's a rare.
Yeah, get into the text.
And this is what it does.
Yeah.
When you cast Pupilizer, the next three cards your opponent draws are exiled rather than placed in their hand.
Oh,
yes.
God.
So they can't see them.
They can't
so it's
even
like
see
they draw the card, but they can't see
it?
Them.
I'll just throw it away.
Just throw it away. three rounds of that.
That's actually really scary.
And
that's,
if you want to make it better, you have to do it with your eyes shut.
You have to do it with your eyes shut, just for realism. Wow, what does that come in as? Is that what sort of rarity is that?
It's a rare.
It's just a rare.
Just rare?
Rare, yeah.
So like more of a...
It's very strong for four mana.
More of like a Mindspring than a Sphinx's Revelation kind of thing.
It's a four mana, take your next three turns off. You can attack and block.
Don't draw any, cards. That's kind of like you drawing three cards. That's very strange.
And I've also got a flavor text for it.
It's sorcery speed though. If it was instant, could go, I'm going to Sphinx's Rev, and then you go, I'm going to pupilize you. Three of those, forget
just
about
exiled,
it.
Just exiled, gain three life. How's that for you?
But it's sorcery speed.
What world is the pupilizer from?
What do you mean, what world?
Like, you know, it could be from Innistrad, it could be from Theros, it could be from Earth. Right, Dominaria.
What's the Eldrazi one? The
Zendikar.
Zendikar. Yeah. It sounds like a Zendikar type of thing.
Yeah, the pupilizer.
Is a flavor text on that?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, there's more.
Once he came out of that cave, he could only cast the spells he knew.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the ones that were already in his hand.
So he couldn't read anymore.
Why did he go into the cave?
To imagine.
Why do planeswalkers battle it out? Because they want to be victorious.
Because of curiosity.
Yeah, he wanted to go into that cave and win. Yeah. He came out pupilized.
Something you don't know about pupilizers is they have a very feminine voice.
Do they?
And this one was just talking in the cave, and the guy's like, oh, there's a lady in there. Yeah. Ah, it's a pupilizer! It's because they all have women voices.
Might go and pick up.
Yeah.
I'm wearing you. Out now by Wizards of the Coast. Makes you smell like buttercups. Tweets and news. The Seven Land Hand Super Series continues May 4th. That's coming up. What's that? Is that next week?
It's next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
Yeah. So we did all of the Super Series qualifiers that are going to be limited, which is sealed. Six boosters. We did them the week after the new set comes out. So this one will be 2 Journey into Nyx packs, 2 Born of the Gods packs, 2 Theros packs. Build your sealed deck from that. Top 8 after 5-6 rounds of Swiss, depending on how many people turn up, will be a top 8 draft, which is one of each of the boosters from the new sets.
And what order do they go through? Do they go you?
They go
one of the
you.
Gods, Theros.
It goes you first.
Yeah.
And then boom, and then
Thra.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So you can catch the video of the final, the draft. So there's going to be a draft final?
Yeah, there'll be a draft final. We might be able to do an over-the-shoulder...
final of the top-placed players as you go into that, Yeah, cool. And that'll be available on sevenlandhand.com on the video archive. Thanks to Toby, who's doing our videos for us.
Working tirelessly to get all those videos done for us,
So, please keep your comments coming in. If we read anything out, anything of yours, if you ask a great question, if you slag us off, if you want to say where we've gone wrong, if you think Dominion was a much different game to how I've described it, or if any of the top 10, if you think Bishop shouldn't have been at number 6, it should have been at number 1, and Chapel is not a good card at all, then that's fine. They'll write in and let us know. Also, what cards you've been playing with, what you cards have you been playing with that you've enjoyed, which ones suck, which ones of Travis's should have appeared in this set rather than M15. Yeah. I think Pupilizer is...
Do you think Pupilizer should be bumped
up
to Mythic?
It's a strong blue card.
Should it be bumped up to a Mythic rare?
I don't like to get involved in the in the research and development stuff. if you write in and we read out your comment, you get a Hyper Magic Nerd badge. If you're overseas, drop us a line. Tell us if you disagree with what we've said, from far afield. Tell me Kate Beckinsale's number. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ring up. We'll ring a line. Ask Marshall to send us a What Is Up Seven Land Hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be good.
I should have done it. I met him. So
yeah,
we should have.
Yeah, because you needed
could have crossed it off the list.
You needed the Hyper Magic Nerd badge sweetener. If he'd have seen that, he'd gone, what do you need? What do you need, Aaron?
Yeah,
what do you need?
Should have had the badge. Should have given it to him there.
And I've got one even.
Yeah, well, and Tom, he'll be getting bestowed upon
Hyper
Magic Nerd badge. Okay, so next fortnight, we'll be back in a fortnight with Seven Land Hand Extra, a magic focused podcast, even though we've done half and half today.
Yep.
And that'll be all about you.
Journey to Nyx.
Bring the lube. We've learned what Nyx was, goddess of the night.
Venturing into her.
Yeah. So we're talking card reviews, draft combo uses, value predictions, etc. So you know how many time of needs you need to stock up with so that when they become valuable, you can sell all those uncommons for 35 cents a piece. Yeah.
We'll be going deep into you in a couple of weeks.
We'll be going deep into you. Look forward to that in a fortnight.
It'll be all over you.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to the misuse of this title.
Already.
Oh, we've got months. How long do they go for? Quarterly? So.
Well, M15 doesn't come out until July. And last week of July, so three months or so.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
All right, so we can be all over you for months to come. All right, Aaron, it's time to say goodbye.
Thank you very much for coming on the show today. First of all, Travis.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Thank you, Travis. We'll see you very soon, hopefully. You've got to fly back to Seattle now to work for Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
It's a long flight. Take a couple of Xanax or something.
There's lots of games on
there's heaps of games on the Wizards of the Coast Air Force One.
Yeah.
And thank you very much, Tom, for coming on the show. You'll be given your... We'll bestow a Hyper Magic Nerd badge upon you.
I'm busting a booster whilst we're... What are we going to do?
What do you get?
Silence of the Believers.
Oh, that's a good one. That's lovely.
Even though I don't know half...
Yeah, Tom, what did you think of Journey into Nyx?
I had a great time. That was really good. I made Heroic Deck, and it was super fun.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. I'm very glad you enjoyed it. Thanks to everyone that did come along to the pre-releases as well. And now we'll go through this pack. Dave's looking at all these cards for the first time.
Brain Maggot. Yeah. There you go. There's some cards.
That's something to do with the brain, and mine's to do with the eyes.
Brain Maggot's a very interesting one, because the brain maggot's not actually in the brain of the person who was depicted there. It's just the eyeball. It actually looks pretty similar. Wait, is this pupilizing? It's a monster that is actually an oval shape.
Yeah.
About the size of a piece of paper. And it's inside the eye. It's stopping you from seeing. Look, it's brain maggot.
Wow.
It really just looks...
Travis is getting... He's going to get back to the office and take a piece out of someone, I think.
Yeah.